Before we get into tonight's Survivor Know-It-Alls, I want to take a moment and thank one of our sponsors, our friends over at ZipRecruiter, who ask, you know what's not smart? Job sites that overwhelm you with a ton of the wrong resumes. But you know what is smart? You don't have to be the knowingest know-it-all to know about ZipRecruiter.com/survive. Unlike the other job sites, ZipRecruiter doesn't wait for the candidates to find you. ZipRecruiter finds them for you. With powerful matching technology, it scans thousands of resumes, identifies people with the right skills, education, and experience for your job, and actively invites them to apply so you get qualified candidates fast. No more sorting through the wrong resumes, no more waiting for the right candidates to apply. It's no wonder that ZipRecruiter is rated number one by employers in the U.S. This rating comes from hiring sites on Trustpilot with over 1,000 reviews. And right now, our listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/survive. That's ZipRecruiter.com/survive. SURVIVE. ZipRecruiter.com/survive. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
The smartest guys around are about to break it down like they've won the game a million times.
Well, actually, they didn't really win the game at all.
Survivor Know-It-Alls.
Yes, that is right. The Survivor Know-It-Alls are back once again. Rob Cesternino here with the honorary brochacho, Stephen Fishback.
Oh my God, Rob. What an episode. What an episode.
Yeah.
I went into that tribal council. I was certain that Christian was going home. I was like, there's no way Davey is going to play his idol. It's just not going to happen. Like, I've seen this misdirect before, this tease doesn't make sense. Christian's going home. That's it. It makes, you know, he's had such this glowing, perfect edit up to now. And it totally, I can see it happening in front of my eyes. And then bam, one idol, two idols, John gone. What a night.
What a night. Yeah, I felt okay about Christian. I felt like that's by hook or by crook, they were going to figure it out. But then I felt like, okay, Angelina is going to go home tonight. And I thought that we were going to have the perfect symmetrical exit from the game for Angelina, much like she requested the jacket from Natalie. Dan.
Yeah.
And it was going to be like shades of Ty not giving the idol to Scott Pollard. And I thought she was going to go home. And at the point where Dan stood up and played the idol for Angelina, I was completely floored. I had no idea who was going home. And Stephen, it is nights like this that have kept Survivor on the air for 37 seasons.
Wow, it really is. It truly is. You know, this was like a stellar night. It also would have been great because also Angelina was like the default boot, and you know, she had made Lursa the default boot. You know, it was like all of Angelina's sins being revisited on her. It would have been a really apt way for her to go. But no, John, and it was just the sort of total randomness. You know, all season long, I've just been, you know, admiring John's great gameplay at how this guy could come in, the Goliath of the Goliaths, and be, you know, somehow fade into the background and somehow not be a big target. I've been waiting for him to kind of in the end game, you know, emerge as this power player. Well, he will not be emerging as a power player. He's on the jury bench. Maybe he'll be a power juror, but that's the best he can hope for. I think that if Dan had not won immunity, it would have been Dan going home tonight.
Perhaps. There's so much to talk through in terms of everything going on tonight. The way that John went home, it was like the perfect exit from the game for him. John, the guy who really was the epitome of the Goliaths, to get the basically hit in a way that he never saw it coming. Just such an amazing night. The only thing that was missing was us doing a live know-it-alls, because this was really almost like the night that Malcolm went home, where, wait, what's happening? How is this going to... Like, oh my God, no, I can't believe it. I really can't believe it. So it was so much to talk through. We've got a great week of podcasting coming up. I will be speaking with the reigning Survivor champion, Wendell Holland, tomorrow on the podcast. But on the exit interview, I'll be talking to a reigning wrestling champion as well as the mayor of Slamtown, due to call us in. And again, that look, you never know with people that have some notoriety outside the game. Things could change at a late date, but I've not heard any word that there'll be any interruption in our exit interview schedule. So mayor of Slamtown tomorrow, Wendell Holland on the recap podcast. Hannah Shapiro will be here for the feedback show. And of course, the Wiggle Room coming. So we've got a lot of great stuff. And one other nugget before we dive in, a lot of people asking for the RHAP merchandise to come back. The RHAP t-shirt and apparel store is back open. Go to RHAPstore.com to go check that out, Stephen. So let's.
Is there going to be a t-shirt with my signature catchphrase, oh man?
We can work on that. We'll talk to our mutual friend Brian Malloy about a Stephen Fishback oh man commemorative shirt. All right, Stephen. So I guess where do we begin here in this discussion? Well, let's start.
Go ahead. I thought you were actually asking me. It turned out it was just a rhetorical question.
Well, I'm a little flummoxed. There's so much going on. So I feel like with the Davids had a number of options to go with tonight for in terms of what they did. And it was certainly dazzling for Davey. Was this the correct decision?
Well, first of all, I think we need to set out that I think we're probably both on the same page that the Davids obviously knew that Davey had an idol and was considering playing it for Christian. You know, I think that has to be like, I think that's like probably the biggest source of confusion coming out of that episode is that the Davids split the votes. They gave 3 votes to John and 2 votes to Angelina, meaning Angelina was never in danger of going home. And because of that, we know that they almost certainly knew that Davey had an idol to play. So the whole group, like for them to split the votes, they had to all be pretty sure that there was an idol that really there was a chance that it could get played. So the question is this the right move for Davey? I actually think it's a great move for Davey. And the reason is because of this advantage they found, the vote steal advantage, an advantage that's very close to my heart. For Davey to build trust with the rest of the Davids now, to kind of create this new alliance of Davids that never really seemed to be cohering, you know, from our perspective on this side of the TV screens, Davey was never really a huge part of that group, right? Could be a giant shift in the game, because next week when they're still going to be down 5-6, they have the vote steal advantage that could even the numbers up.
Interesting. Stephen, I want to go back to what you were talking about in terms of the people that put the votes onto John. And I believe it was Davey, it was Christian, and it was Nick, with the other 2 votes going for Angelina. So the Davids split their votes 3-2. So the episode would almost have us believe that Davey had the idol, never said anything to anybody about the idol, and then decided almost spur of the moment, okay, I'm going to go ahead. The tribal council is live. I'm going to play my idol for Christian. Christian's taking a lot of heat at this tribal council. I know the votes are going to go on to him, and I'm going to make sure that Christian is safe tonight. Now, based on the fact that we had 3 votes for John, that can't be the case.
Right. They have to have known that there was an idol being played, And they had to then make the leap that, oh, if we're going to go play an idol for Christian, if Davey's going to break out his idol and play for Christian, we all know Dan has an idol. That's common knowledge. So there's a good chance that Dan might play his idol for Angelina in response. If that happens, then all the votes are invalidated. You know, though, I think the last time we saw that was in Survivor Cambodia when the votes against Jeremy and Wentworth were invalidated. There'll be a revote or a discussion, and it's likely that the Goliaths will end up knocking off one of the Davids, right? If all of the Goliaths vote for Christian and all of the Davids vote for Angelina, two idols are played. You still have a majority of Goliaths and they're going to vote out one of the Davids. So whoever on the Davids tribe came up with this brilliant idea, hey, let's split the votes. Let's put two on Angelina, three on John. You know, they're not going to play an idol for John. There's no reason for them to think he's coming home. And even if they do, we've still got, you know, two on Angelina. So, it's brilliant. It's really smart strategy.
Yeah. There's a lot of stuff that we're going to have to, you know, really dig through this week to be able to get a clear picture of how this all came to be. And maybe the secret scenes might go a little bit of that way to be able to tell us who's talking about what in terms of, you know, how they're going to come up with this plan this week. Stephen, I felt like that tonight was the worst episode of the series so far for Christian.
Yeah, I mean, Christian was shown to be a little bit out of the loop. I mean, but also, like, you know, it's all about how wonderful he is. You know, Mike has this great epiphany. We can't let Christian get to the end. He's too great. He'll beat us all. And then you have all of these people scrambling to save Holy Christian, you know. Mm-hmm. So granted, Christian himself is a little bit out of the loop on this episode, but you know, the subtext is Christian is this amazing, radiant human being.
I thought it was so amazing to see the sort of meta conversation that the Goliaths were having, which was really led by Mike, who said that if I was watching the show, or everybody that's watching the show is either rooting for this guy or is saying, yeah, why aren't we getting rid of this guy? And I'm so not used to people who are out there on the island having the same conversation that we're having while we're watching the show. I thought that was amazing.
Yeah, it really is true. It was so funny. And in those moments, I mean, I've heard more of those moments, right, in real life. You know, I think when you're on the show, you're certainly talking about it.
That with Joe, right?
Yeah, with Joe, you're like, this guy's getting the winner's edit. But like, just in general, you know, you're constantly speculating, like, what's going to make air, how it's going to make air. You know, you're aware of, you know, you're on a show with there's like 10 cameras around you. You know, you're always thinking, like, how is this being digested and turned into a TV show?
Mm-hmm. But just the fact that we were seeing people having those conversations about that here in this episode, and then the conversations that were being had about the threat level from Christian, the idea that he was going to be, you know, in some sort of Cochrane fashion, be able to stay under the radar all the way to the end and win this thing, I don't think that that is a realistic possibility. I'm not saying that he can't get to the end or he can't win, but the idea that he is going to be overlooked the rest of the way, I think that there has to be a different plan for him to get there.
Yeah, Cochrane really ruined it for all future nerds.
Well, I don't know about that, but in terms of, you know, in Survivor and in Big Brother, we've definitely seen this archetype overlooked at different points, and it was just really fun to hear that conversation had on the island by the...
Well, and Christian is like just so... Oh, sorry, I thought you were...
No, I'm good.
Christian is just so... Like, he's just like this, like, the lovely, charming, hilarious, generous, you know, great personality, right? Like, and he seems so genuine and so affable. So I don't just think it's like, it's the nerdiness of him, right? It's also like the himness of him.
Yeah, no, he does a lot of things right, and he's very easy to root for and has a lot of charisma, and people seem to want to work with him. And I think that that's the type of thing that the players have identified and realized why he is such a dangerous target. I don't want to go too much further without sort of eulogizing John to some degree as a personality in this game. Do you feel like if John could have survived tonight, do you feel like that he had a realistic shot to win the game, Stephen?
Yeah, I I mean, as I was saying earlier, you know, I really felt throughout this thing that John was in a superb position. Everyone seemed to really like him. He seemed, you know, he seemed to be the peacemaker on the Goliath tribe, right? He was, last episode, right? He was in basically every strategic conversation. When Angelina kind of had her blow up, John was the guy who went and talked to her about it. Yeah, but he was all, you know, he would agree. I wrote about this in my blog that John would basically be agreeing to every plan that came at him, which is, you know, we always say is kind of the, should be your default posture as a Survivor player, right? Is whenever anyone comes to you with a plan, you say yes. And whenever John heard a plan, he said yes. He was never the guy who was forcing his plan down other people's throats. And as a result, even though he came in as this huge target, the Goliath of the Goliaths, he somehow managed to be, to like, you know, get into the background enough so that last episode Dan was wondering, like, why is John not a target here? And, you know, I think if Dan had not had the immunity necklace, I think it would have been Dan going home instead of John. He had a lot of great relationships, and, you know, it makes sense in this moment for them to target him, but I think that outside of this, there were a lot of people who would have gone before he would have gone, and he could have beasted out in the end.
Mm-hmm. I thought he had such a great run on the show for being somebody who is, you know, has this notoriety from wrestling coming into Survivor. I thought he came across incredibly well on the show. He never, he went out in spectacular fashion, got blindsided. He has the, hey, what might have been thing going for him had he stayed in the game. He never really had to get his hands dirty or do anything underhanded. I just feel like that overall, that look, his fame and fortune rests outside of the realm of Survivor. So I feel like that you have to look at the John Hennigan venture into CBS reality as an unmitigated success.
Oh, yeah. What a coup. And what a great, you know, really one of the linchpins of the season. You know, again, you've got sort of Christian, who's the David of the Davids, John, who's the Goliath of the Goliaths. Like, those two guys are kind of the ones who make the tribes. Is somewhat apt that in trying to take out the David of the Davids, it is the Goliath of the Goliaths who gets, you know,
there's
taken
a lot
out.
Of poetry tonight.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which I know is your favorite.
So what, let's go back to Davey. Did you think this was the right move for Davey? I kind of gave my defense of Davey. What do you think?
So I did feel like it. But the thing that I always like to sort of, because I tend to get sucked in as the TV viewer. And I go back to, you know, a ways, and I talked about Malcolm getting blindsided in Game Changers. But when we go back to talking about how when the night that Malcolm and the Three Amigos played those idols, and boy, wasn't that spectacular. Wasn't that exciting. And the takeaway there was Malcolm probably should have held on to at least an idol, because that's the thing that is going to keep him alive in the game. It's the final 11. And so, or we're going to be at the final 11 after this episode. We're at the final 12 this week. What was this too early for Davey to spend an idol to save somebody else?
Here's my thinking. I mean, I think with any advantage in this game and any idol, it's so hard to know a perfect moment when to play it. You know, you have Nick talking about the advantage, like, you know, I was hoping we'd be able to play this at the final six or seven. You start to daydream about the perfect moment when this is going to save your game, that perfect time, and you're going to totally flip the power dynamics. It is so rare that you can actually have a time when you know where the votes are coming and you know that you can dramatically influence the power structures in the game by using that idol. So, like, I think everyone always kind of wants to hold on to it for that special, that incredible time. But Davey, again, like, because of that vote steal, has the chance this week to really affect the game dynamics. And, you know, I think we saw last season that the Malolos got so far behind in the numbers that there was really nothing that they could do, right? They truly were at Navidi's mercy. And I think, you know, if another David goes this week, the Davids are out of luck, right? Like, maybe Davey is able to save himself for 1 week down the line at the final six, and then he's picked off at the final five, right? That's his, like, best case scenario if he doesn't play the idol now. But if he does play it, you know, he's building faith, right? With all the Davids. Yes, he's drawing attention to himself, and making himself a bigger target, but he's also establishing his resume. So, you know, that doesn't hurt anybody. And, but I think most importantly, this really could be combined with the correct play of the vote steal next week, a really legitimately game changing maneuver here.
Do you think that it's the game itself that has changed, where that it is better strategy to play these advantages earlier as opposed to just try to squirrel them away for when you yourself are going to be facing the elimination? Or was this just the exact perfect situation where it lined up, where they knew exactly where the vote was going to go and that they were going to be able to flip this vote?
I really think the latter. You know, it's so hard to make a general rule for an idol play. But again, like with idols, it's just so hard, right? Unless you're Ben Driebergen and you know every vote that you're the target, and I gotta play my idol because I know I'm the target. Typically, when it is you, you don't know, right? Mm-hmm. Like people are blindsiding you. People are lying to you. So when it is your turn, it's rare that you have the correct information.
Yeah.
The only way that you can get the correct information is to have allies who are they are defending you, right? When the discussion comes up, you need allies who are saying, no, not Davey this week, someone else. And then you need people who are ferrying that information back to you. So typically, right, when someone walks off for an interview or they're, you know, going to do their business in the water, right? That's when people say, like, what about him? Let's get him out this week. And that's when you need to have as many allies as possible who are, you know, saying, who are making the case that it shouldn't be you. And this is the kind of move that builds alliances, and it's alliances that save you in Survivor.
So there were so many moving parts in this episode. I wanted to try to talk through how we got to this vote and the way that it shook out. And I guess I want to go back to Christian and the conversation that he had with Mike at the beginning of this episode. And we saw where Mike had some concerns based on the way that Gabby in particular was conducting herself at the last tribal council. And you and I talked on the show last week, and we were both pretty high on Gabby and what she was doing. And I probably even more so, because I was saying, no, Steven, what's going on here is Strike Force is in on this. Gabby is being super dramatic because she's trying to throw the Goliaths off the scent. Now, that may still possibly have been the case, but that was not communicated to Mike, who felt uneasy about the Strike Force. And if anything, that might have been the thing that doomed the Strike Force, because after that conversation with Christian, Mike ends up going back to the Goliaths and saying, hey, or at least talks with Alec about how, look, we got to go ahead and, knock out some of these Davids. I don't feel good enough about them. Now, is there anything that Christian could have done better in that conversation to keep Mike on board?
Well, first of all, I'm really glad that you acknowledge that I was unequivocally right and you were unequivocally wrong last year. It's really wonderful when the episode bears it out and you take ownership of that.
Are we sure about this?
you're still standing by the idea that, like, Strike Force was in on Gabby's waterworks last week?
No, but I believe that you were there with me that Gabby did a good job at the tribal council last week. And it remains it does remain to be seen, because then if you go a step further where we talk about, you know, Davey said, boy, you know, Elizabeth did us a big favor going out the door because she helped expose where the cracks were. So to some degree, if Gabby was part of that in terms of accelerating where the cracks were and upping the pressure on Angelina so that this ultimately did happen in a more roundabout way, where roundabout is fair trade, then I would say that what Gabby did do helped, but inadvertently more so than with agency, as we were talking about last week.
I mean, I guess on the one hand, you have this like moment from Gabby kind of alienating Mike a little bit, but you also have, right, like later in the episode, Mike loses the pizza reward and then he has this epiphany. I'm not here for pizza. I'm here to get to the end. So I want to vote out Christian. So it feels like a lot of things are kind of, you know, bouncing around Mike's head that are telling him that, you know, he doesn't totally trust Strike Force and that maybe it's time to take out one of them. You know, at the start of the episode, it's Gabby's tears. He wants to get rid of Gabby. Then it's like, that pizza looks so good, I got to vote out Christian. Mm-hmm. So it feels like Mike is maybe just generally having doubts about that alliance and about the idea of saving a David when the Goliaths are such a coherent group.
So the Goliaths have a meeting, and the Goliaths talk about, okay, we need to get rid of Christian. Angelina is annoyed. Hey, that was my idea. I said that last week.
What did you think of that, Rob? Did you think that, do you think that that's like a sexism at play?
You know what? I am not the right person to ask about that. I wonder if it was situational, but I will be sure to ask Hannah about that when we have our feedback show. I already made a note to have that as one of the questions that I'll talk about in that episode of the podcast. But
I mean, because there probably is, it's probably a couple of things, right? Like, that's a classic sexist thing that happens, right? It's like a woman proposes an idea, everyone ignores it, and then like the guys come in and say, they propose the exact same idea, and everyone's like, "Yeah, that's a great idea." And like, that's obviously a classic sexist event. There's also probably just Angelina versus Mike, right? Yeah. Clearly, we know that the Goliaths like they like Mike more than they like Angelina. You know, we see everyone kind of rolling their eyes when Angelina talks, and you know, Mike seems to really be a voice of the group.
The one thing Angelina got to the same conclusion that Mike did, I think also because she spent time with Christian and talked about in her secret scenes about how she really liked Christian and she spent a day or two with him, and then after spending time with him is like, I love this guy. And that's what made her say, I've got to get rid of him. And really, Mike ended up going on that same journey where he spent some time with Christian and realized, oh, wow, this guy is actually really sharp and I like him and I want to get rid of him. So I do think that they arrived on the same things. I don't want to say that, you know, like what the motivation was for anybody who went along with the plan last week versus other people, because it wasn't just a male made decision last week. You had other people like Kara and Allison who were also in that Goliath decision making. So we'll explore that more.
And the other thing is that, you know, last week Christian was in the mix, right? And it was Angelina who put him there. And that's probably a big part of the reason he was in the mix this week, is because he was someone they were considering last week. They instead decided to go for Elizabeth. They eliminated Elizabeth. And then they're like, okay, who's the next one? You know, so it's like, it doesn't have to be either or. Like, for them, it's both and.
Okay. So Alec here. Now, he's the one who's the reluctant Goliath. He's the person, he voted against Natalia. He's been aligned with the Davids. And so he is the one that isn't so sure he wants, because honestly, where is he in the Goliaths? Is he, you know, seventh on the totem pole on the Goliaths? Like, he doesn't have a lot of power there. And he's the one who's really freelancing with the Davids. And then he has the conversation with Nick. And so, Steven, did Alec do a good thing by having that conversation with Nick? And he says, like, hey, you know, you could just go back and you could tell people about what's going on, but I'm trusting you. But is that what Alec wanted all along?
I think that, God, it's tough, right? I mean, you compare it to how we talked about Angelina last week. She did something very similar. She went and told Elizabeth, you're going home. I think we both felt last week that that was not a good decision for Angelina, right? So how is it a better decision for Alec this week?
Nick wasn't the person going home. So this wasn't really a matter of currying a jury vote, but this was trying to keep a relationship sort of intact. You know, that's one theory of, okay, well, these guys are, I don't want my ally to be blindsided, at least here you go. But it was this enough breadcrumbs to lead this to happen, because I think ultimately this was a good thing for Alec more so than a bad thing, unless it really starts to get out. Then in this next episode, how did they know? And will the Goliaths be able to put the pieces together and say, who told the Davids that the vote was going to be for Christian?
No, and that's what I wrote about in my blog, is that the idea that basically that is that it's different to tell Nick, who's not the person who's being voted out, than it is to tell the person who's being voted out. But there's a couple of dangers for Alec. The first is that, yes, that people find out that it's him, right? He doesn't have... He probably is overestimating his relationship with the Davids, right? Like, the Davids seem to be working a lot of angles here. Mm-hmm. And if the Goliaths find that he's moving between the two groups, then they might really suspect him. The other danger is, like, Christian, what if Christian wins? You know, like, what if Christian is the guy who wins? You know, why not get rid of him at this juncture?
for the Goliaths or for the Davids?
For Alex specifically. You know, I think we can say Alex's move doesn't blow up, right? Mm-hmm. And he kind of, this is sort of what he wanted, right? He said to Nick, like, if you can make something happen here, but like, maybe it doesn't blow up this episode, but it certainly could blow up in four episodes of the finale, you know, when Christian wins $1 million and Alex doesn't.
Yeah. It does seem like that the Davids that Alex is especially close with are Nick and Carl and Davey. It seems like those like it's Carl and Davey.
Carl,
yes, because he was on the tribe with those guys. That he was right. on. I believe it was on Vuku. They were together, and so I feel like that those three who seemed very tight, Nick and Davey and Carl, especially when they're rolling around, they all have an advantage, and they're sort of like the three Davids that have something in the game. I feel like that Alex is closer with those Davids than he is with the Christian and Gabby side of the David tribe.
It's interesting you say that because I feel like we haven't seen him interacting with Carl at all.
We haven't seen it. I'm assuming in the time that they were at Vuku that I feel like that Alex was more aligned with the Davey and Carl side of things than he was with the Elizabeth, considering that he threw Elizabeth under the bus and seemed to be on the same page as Carl on the previous vote.
Right. But you know, but
that's an assumption.
Right. But we did see him trying to build inroads with Gabby right last episode. Clearly he's got this bond with Nick as well. We saw him talking to Christian about how great it would be to have this unusual alliance with him. So it's hard to gauge, you know, like the ranking for Alex at this point, I think.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then Nick goes and talks to Christian and now tells Christian about what's going on. Now, Christian was sort of like, well, what do I do? And Nick said, well, I don't know if you can do anything. Just keep doing what you're doing. If there is no instruction for Christian, was it a good idea to tell him what was going on?
I don't know. I don't see how you're... Yeah, it's a tough one. What do you think?
Look, somehow we got to where Christian, Nick, and Davey voted for John. Davey played his idol on Christian. So somewhere in between that conversation and what happened, a successful plan was hatched. So I think that we don't have enough information to know whether or not. I think because we arrived, and this is a little bit of a leap, but because we arrived in the right place, I have to think that it was at least the beginning of the correct move.
Yeah. No, I think so. I think so, too. And it's interesting, like, you know, it does make it much harder for Christian, right? Because like if Christian's seen, you know, if Christian goes off and scrambles, that ruins everything. Right. So Nick really has to know that Christian is going to be leather assed about this. You know, he's not going to like, you know, show any emotion. He's going to like sit in his chair. Is that the appropriate expression? Leather assed?
I think of poker players. I've not heard that one.
It's like
before.
A poker expression, right? Like they're just going to like sit in their chair and like not make any, you know,
you'd have to ask Tyson or Boston Rob about that.
Yeah. Right, I'm going to Google leather ass.
You know, another bad thing I thought for Christian tonight was he...
I'm not finding the right one I'm looking for.
You're going to want to use an incognito browser for that one, Steven.
Another thing
for Christian that I felt like did not go in his favor, that he was saved by the hidden immunity idol, like you once were. And is that still a thing, Steven? Is there still a curse where nobody has won the game after a player has saved them with a hidden immunity idol?
Oh, well, Sandra got saved with the hidden immunity idol.
I believe Sandra had the hidden immunity idol played on her, but if I recall...
Right, but she wasn't saved because of it.
The votes went for Jerry at that tribal council.
Right, yeah, no, the votes did go... That's correct. So, I mean, there's probably of only very few people who that's happened to, right? There's you know, who did Ty play it for last season in Game Changers? Was
Did he play on Sarah? He played it on Aubrey. I think he played it for Aubrey. Uh-huh. He played one for himself, well, but I think he played one for Aubrey.
Having been in that situation, you know, I think you do come out of that and you think like, I'm almost, you know, my equity in this game has significantly decreased. You know, people are going to look at me as someone who only got, the only reason I'm here is because I got saved. Now, I think that there are two mitigating factors. The first is that one, you just really can't be there at the end with the guy who saved you, right? that's actually maybe a downside to Davey playing his idol for Christian, is that he like ensures that Christian has to take him out in order for Christian to play his ideal game. Like, there's no way that Christian can want to go to the end with Davey anymore. Cause like, how do you sit next to the guy who's like, you're only here cause I allowed you to be here? So that's one. And then the other is that, I think, you know, everything just comes down to, you got to be sitting next to two people who people hate more than you. You know, like, it doesn't matter what you do so long as the people next to you are worse.
Mm-hmm. Steven, next week, we're getting down to the final 11. Do you think that we are looking at the five Davids versus five Goliaths with Alec in the middle? Is that how you see it breaking down?
I'm thinking five. I mean, my fantasy is 5-6 with the vote steal. And then, you know,
but do you need
the vote steal being used in this crucial capacity would just be so, so wonderful. It would really be the truly correct way of playing the vote steal.
But you really could do this without the vote steal, couldn't you?
Or yeah, if you got one flip.
Yeah. I mean, so you're sort of ensuring that it would work with the vote steal.
Well, the question is, would Alec do that? To me, that would seem to be like a horrible mistake for Alec
to flip and go with the Davids. He does seem to have more connections to the Davids. The one person that we, you know, have seen him with, well, I guess he's been with Mike and with Allison in the Strike Force, and then with Kara also, he has some connections. So he really does have connections still on both sides.
But and Alec's big concern is always like, how do I keep my social capital, right? Like, and that's always his thing with the Davids. Like, I don't want to betray the Davids, because it's like less about, I don't want to vote out Christian, he's my friend, and more about, if I vote out Christian, then I'm betraying Nick, and then nobody on the David tribe is going to trust me anymore. All of my social capital is squandered. So I think that Alec is an astute enough person to realize that the Goliaths will be much angrier at him for betraying the entire Goliath tribe than the Davids would be if he voted against a David.
Yeah, really fun. I think we're set up very well here, Steven.
Wait, we haven't talked about the biggest question of all this episode.
What is it?
Should Dan have played his idol for Angelina?
Should Dan have played his idol for Angelina? That is a good question. He's got two. I mean, he's basically in the same situation where Jeremy was in when he decided to save one of his floundering allies. And so I think that that served him well, right?
Well, many people argue that it was a bad move for Jeremy, because I was gone the next episode anyway, and he lost an idol.
Yeah.
So the question is, you know, and here Dan is saving someone who's his enemy, right? We have a whole scene mm-hmm. with Dan arguing about how he doesn't want to save Angelina.
Great
how he
editing,
wants her out of the
great
game.
Great editing on that. He's like, hey, I've got the idol. Don't worry. I'll save you. And he's like, I am not going to save her.
Yeah, it was awesome. And then last episode, we had, you know, this big conflict between Dan and Angelina, both of them talking about, you know, another great edited scene where they would cross cut between the two of them talking about how much they hated each other. Mm-hmm. But here Dan is pulling out an idol. Granted, he has two, but like still, he's pulling out an idol to save someone who he doesn't even really like. What did you think?
You know what? Honestly, I had not thought about it much. I felt like that he was guilted into it. And I thought that was an emotional decision from Dan more than it was a strategic one.
I liked it. And I'll tell you why. I thought that Dan basically has no choice, right, in other than to play the idol here, because if he betrays Angelina, then he's not just betraying Angelina, he's betraying his alliance, right? Because he's promised his whole alliance, hey, this is for all of us. So if he doesn't play it for one of them, then he's betraying all of them. At this point, at the point that Dan plays it, he has every reason to think that it's going to be a 7-5 vote. And that by playing it for Angelina, there'll be a revote and they'll be able to vote out a David anyway. Dan is safe. So mm-hmm. even if that's not the case, he knows that he's not in trouble. If Dan sends Angelina to Ponderosa by betraying her, he's going to have someone sitting in the jury house who hates him, who every time someone comes into Ponderosa, Angelina's going, you know, who's obviously a very convincing arguer. She's going to be telling people how terrible Dan is. And the other thing, and maybe the most important thing, is that everyone knows Dan has one idol. Only one person knows that Dan has two idols.
Yeah.
So by playing his idol now, suddenly his threat level decreases.
How many of those things do you think were going through his mind in the 30 seconds he had to make that decision?
Oh, but the general sense of like, if I don't play this for Angelina, everyone's going to hate me. Mm-hmm. And I bet if I do play this for Angelina, we can take out a David after the, like right now. I'll bet those two things were the bait. Well, what do you think?
I felt like that he was guilted into playing that idol. I did not feel like that came from a place of, and maybe his allies, maybe John said, hey, you got to do it if that comes up, because John seems to have a better relationship with Angelina than Dan potentially did. But, I didn't have a major problem with it, but it's interesting to explore, you know, that he could, what might have been.
Yeah.
Because his ally still went home. So it was a waste of an idol.
Well, but he couldn't have known that they were going to split the votes.
At the end of the day, he's better off with Angelina out of the game as opposed to John, who was a brochacho and a closer ally and a bigger meat shield for him.
But it wouldn't have mattered, right? Like, it didn't, like, the idol play didn't matter. It was 3 votes for John, 2 votes for Angelina.
Well, should have played it on John. So
yeah, exactly.
That would have been the better move.
Play them both, one for John, one for Angelina, because he perfectly and pretty Dan does have.
Yeah,
he is omniscient. The one thing about Dan that no one has mentioned yet is he is omniscient.
Yes. Yeah. just to go back to the Davids and the advantages that they had. So it's interesting, in that bag of tricks that those three guys from the Davids had, they had a immunity idol. They had a vote steal, and they had the immunity idol blocker. No way that the immunity idol blocker would have been the tool to use here, right?
I don't think so. I don't see how, right? I mean, it could have, I mean, instead of splitting the votes, they could have put the immunity idol blocker on John, but they clearly didn't need to.
Okay. Nick also talked about, hey, I could use the vote steal. Now, is the vote steal technically Nick's?
I guess so. It seems like he's got the parchment. The vote steal is a piece of parchment. And mm-hmm. you say, I am taking Joe's vote. And then you've got your piece of parchment in your coat pocket. Mm-hmm. And you pull it out and you write Joe's name on it. Or if you're less dumb, you write Abby's name on it. But if you're Nick, you play it perfectly and flip the whole season on its head.
And so Nick said, hey, I could make this thing a 6-6 vote tonight, and I don't think they'll go to rocks for Angelina. Would that have been any better than what they did here?
No, because would it have been any better to keep the idol? No, because again, like, I think this sets up the vote steal. That's what I love about this. It's mm-hmm. like the alley-oop. Okay. Is that a pretty appropriate use of alley-oop? Am I going to Google alley-oop and find terrible things?
Yeah, I don't think you used it wrong.
Okay.
All right. Steven, anything else from this episode before we start to segue into our questions?
Great episode. So much to talk about. Such great characters. I'm so happy. You know, I didn't want any of these three to leave, but I'm so happy that Christian's still there. I'm so happy that Angelina's still there. I'm so sad. I mean, who do you want to leave at this point? There's not one person on this season who I would be happy to see go.
Yeah, they've really... Everybody from the players to the cast to the producers, really just firing on all cylinders. And we look, Lord knows, we don't get this every season. So we are so grateful and appreciative when we get a really fun run like this one, and hope that it can keep up for 5 more weeks here down the stretch. Steven, before we get into our questions that we're going to answer from you guys, #RHAP, let me take a moment and thank our sponsor and our friends from Canvas People are back. Steven Fishback. Steven, of course, as we are starting to approach the holidays, we start to think about what's the perfect gift to get for everybody on our list. And I will tell you that right now, a beautiful Canvas photo from your friends over at Canvas People, because they take your favorite memories on canvas and turn them into unique works of art to add a beautiful touch to your home. Steven, would you rather have a Canvas People with you and JT, you and Jeremy, or you and Cochran?
What about us, Rob? What about the two of us?
Would that be number one in your power rankings?
Look at this. Look at this pair. Look at this. It's so nice.
I don't mean to make you rank things, but Steven.
yeah, you can.
Yes. You could turn so many things into a beautiful work of art that Nicole, my wife herself, has ordered approximately 19 million Canvas people using the with the offers that we've done here on the podcast, and they've got a great offer for you guys. You can try Canvas people for free. Normally they sell for $69.99, but you can go ahead and give it a shot and get your Canvas for free. You just pay the shipping and handling. Text the word RHAP to 797979. That's 797979. You just pay the shipping and handling. This is not an offer that will last. Text RHAP to 797979. That's RHAP to 797979. Message and data rates may apply. All right. Very limited holiday offer.
That's really cool. That's a great holiday gift.
People love Canvas people, and look, I've got so many around my house as proof, and very happy to have Canvas people back here on Rafa's
people
podcast.
Could just give Canvas peoples of us. Like, everyone could just give those. That could be the gift.
Yes, no. They don't have to give us. I don't want to pressure people into getting a gift.
No,
us.
I'm pressure them.
Okay. All right. So see, it is a fantastic gift. Definitely check out canvaspeople.com. All right. Let's go to take some of these questions, Stephen. Let's start with the Survivor guy.
Oh, the Survivor guy wants to know, what was the bigger viewer blindside, John Tonight or Malcolm in Game Changers?
I don't really remember if we had any evidence leading up to it that Malcolm was going to potentially go home. You know, I have not done the Evolution of Strategy. I haven't watched that episode since the week it was on. Was there any evidence leading up to it that Malcolm was going to be the target?
No, but Malcolm was a bigger character in that episode than John. I mean, what was so shocking tonight was that John just came out of nowhere. Like, he wasn't, you know, and I thought that was great editing, right? Was that he was in the episode, but only really to say, guess what? We're Bro Chacho Blindside,
yeah.
Right?
You know, we're talking about, you know, so many, you know, great moments in this episode. You know, he does have a couple of lines at that tribal council, and he's talking about, hey, tonight I'm voting for people that are threats.
Yeah.
And, you know, he had a couple of great lines that I think Gordon Holmes on Twitter, you know, put them into poetry form in terms of, you know, giving out what you're getting. And so he did have a nice tribal council if you go back and watch it.
Yeah, he had a lot of great lines, but he wasn't like some big character. It's, you know, Malcolm was a more of a strategic force in that tribal council where he went out. I mean, there was no reason to think it would be him. But I actually do think his name might have come up. His name definitely came up when the Sierra and Culpepper were brainstorming who to vote for, whether it was, whether they would go for Sandra or whether they'd go for Malcolm. So Malcolm was at least a target in that episode.
Malcolm was the bigger shock because Malcolm had the pedigree that, you know, John is a big character and sort of larger than life, literally and, metaphorically. But that Malcolm, I think that there was some sort of like, people felt like, okay, well, this is going to be Malcolm's season to win.
Right. Yeah, it really did. And he had been playing such a dominant game until that point. It's interesting. You're right. Like that probably therefore seemed more surprising and more shocking. And he was in such a great spot.
Yeah. Kudos to John also. He took it so well, you know, it sort of smiled and like, that's me. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good job. All right. Let's take a question. This is from Jazz Be Good. Do you think that where do you think Nick's head was going at Tribal Council? He didn't know about Davey's idol and he didn't steal a vote. So he was willing to let Christian go home. No, I mean, I do think that there is more than what we saw in the episode because he and Davey and Christian, you know, were able to vote for John and split that vote. There's no way they would split the vote if they didn't all talk at some point about what they were going to do.
I'm willing to stake my reputation as a know-it-all on the fact that they knew about this idol.
There's no other logical explanation to explain why they put three votes on John if there wasn't some communication. So obviously they knew something was up.
Yeah.
You know, did Davey say he had the idol? Did they feel like that, did they think somebody else had an idol that they were going to be able to have access to? But the simplest logical conclusion is that Davey must have told at least Nick, hey, I'll play the idol tonight. And Nick told Christian at the very least, hey, let's all put our votes on John tonight. Trust me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Steven, who did you give the fishy to tonight?
Oh, Davey. Of course, you got to give it to Davey. We didn't talk about that great moment when, oh, look at that. Yes. The ultimate fishy. Yeah, yes, still, I love that. It's right there in the camera shot.
I hold the ultimate fishy that I go to sleep with. Whoa. It, and I, you know, try to pry it from my cold, dead hand, somebody.
Wow.
Yes.
We didn't talk about that incredible moment when Davey is on the rocks, like doing, you know.
That was great.
Like flailing around to distract people's attention while Nick and Carl go get the advantage. That was incredible.
No, that was great.
And talk about taking one for the team, because you want to be the guy. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, and you saw Kara in the episode, like, hey, look at what Davey is doing. That's so funny.
Yeah, it was great. Like, that was great. It was just like plan, execution, reaction. Like, it was so perfect.
It was so perfect. And while we're heaping praise on Davey, I also want to say that during the tribal council that he talked about how Elizabeth did us a great favor last week because she showed us where the cracks were. And this is something that we've talked about so many times over the years of getting the jury invested in you and calling them out, making them feel like they're part of the story. Such a really great job with Davey.
All the Davies actually were great at that tribal council, you know, really sort of playing dead. I don't think they gave any indication that they had something up their sleeves. So kudos to them. You know, it's always tricky when you've got a secret plan for everyone to be on board with, like really keeping it under wraps and acting like you're screwed and not overplaying it. Like when you ham it up too much, then like that's no good. I think they did a really good job in play acting at tribal council. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Want to go ahead and skip a question that we basically already got that one. Let's talk about this one from Matt. Dan just idled out his number two ally. Where does this rank on the all-time worst Survivor modes?
Wow.
I don't think very high. I mean.
Well, he didn't. John got more votes. John got 3 votes. Angelina got 2. So Dan's idol play, like Dan wasted an idol on Angelina, but he did not idle out an ally.
No. It ranks somewhere in the top 200 worst moves of Survivor all time.
I don't even think it's there. I think it's lower.
Not even the top 200.
Yeah, no.
Top 300.
Yeah. All right. Mike Hearns wants to know, with the blind side tonight, what do you think made him the target over a different Goliath? Was it his actual strength, or was there more to it that you think was going on? This is a good question. Why John? So the other options, right? They're Alec, they're Kara, they're Allison, and that's it.
Well, I guess that in terms of relationships, who of the Davids has a relationship with John? Really only Christian, and Christian's back is against the wall. So I think that, you know, Christian would have been okay with the Davids, you know, putting the votes on his parents at that point. And so I don't think there was anybody there to say, no, not John. He's a big threat. You know, Dan had the immunity necklace, and you know, where else would you go with it? They're close with Alec. There's ties to Dr. Allison. If Angelina is the person that they are not going for, that they expect.
Yeah.
Like where else? Kara?
And Angelina is great to keep in the game, right? Because the Goliaths don't particularly like her.
Mm-hmm. There's ties to Mike White.
Yeah. Mike, we didn't talk about Mike. Actually, why not Mike? Mike would have been a good person to go for because Mike is the one who's going for them.
Yeah, but I think that maybe they feel like that they could pull Mike back, and they don't look at Mike as the same sort of a threat as somebody where that, you know, Nick feels like, you know, I have that relationship with Mike. He might be out right now, but maybe I could win him back, where I've never had a relationship with John. And he's
Nick and Mike are the rock stars. And, you know, so there's something to that as well.
So it makes sense, but just by process of elimination, too. Okay. All right. Yeah. Let's go to John. Do you believe that Alec told Nick about the Christian blindside with the intention of saving Christian? No, I don't think that it was that, you know, predetermined in terms of, okay, here's my plan. I'll tell Nick and then we'll save Christian. But I think it was one of those things that he put it out there. And if it happened, it happened.
Yeah, and he even said, like, if you guys can make something work, great. But, you know, good, like, good luck. Basically, mm-hmm. You know, he opened the door to it, but he didn't
Stephen,
endorse it.
Is it possible that this collapse back in on Alec at the next vote?
Oh, I totally think so. I mean, I think it's Alec's in a really dangerous spot here where, you know, being the intermediary between two alliances
Yeah,
he's doing a great job of it, but, like, it's a very dangerous position to be in. One thing I'll say for Alec has not flipped, right? Alec has consistently voted with the Goliaths down, you know.
What about Natalia?
There have been two votes. Yeah, except, you know, the Natalia thing, other than the Natalia thing. He has not, but, like, in terms of in the merge, while he's socially playing with the Davids, his vote has been pretty locked in with the Goliaths. And I think that's where people get into trouble, is when they're flipping back in the vote, back and forth in the voting booth.
Okay. All right. Let's take one from Jackie Stacky, who says, how many idols do you think will be re-hidden?
Okay. Good question, Rob. What do you think? Is it one or two?
So let's just talk about that. There was one idol that was found at after the merge, and that was the idol that Dan had. So I'm trying to remember exactly how this went. I feel like that there will be one idol that will be re-hidden into the game.
In Cambodia, we got so Wentworth's second idol and came after her first idol, right? That was handed out at the reward challenge, basically.
I mean, if we're looking after Jeremy played the idol on you, was a second idol hidden back into the game? Because Kelly played her idol against that. And I think in some ways that this is almost like similar to Kelly playing her idol at the second vote after the merge. Has that in common?
Yeah. So actually it was immediately after Jeremy played his idol on me that Wentworth got her idol at the reward challenge. I think, you know, it was random, right? It was like one of the clues in the reward challenge that I won.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I wish I'd, gotten the idol
that instead of winning
reward.
The reward. Yeah. Making Happy Maria mad.
That stake is long gone.
Yeah. All right. Here's one from Cade. Was there any strategic value for Davey to provide a distraction to let Nick find the advantage, or should Davey have went to go find it for himself? Look, it's working out good so far, right?
Yeah, and I think that what Davey's done a lot of this episode is that he's building these bonds with, like, the Davids. And it's like, you know, he's bringing this group together. Mm-hmm. And I think that, again, is like having that parchment, the best you can do is look dumb on TV. Or you can look great on TV, too. But it's more important to build the bonds. And having the parchment can be a liability, as we've seen a couple of times.
I don't think we've given Nick enough credit tonight, where he has so many great relationships in the game right now. We hadn't even really talked about Nick with Davey and Nick with Carl that much, you know, but we saw Nick with Alec in this episode. We know about Nick and Christian, Nick and Mike. So, you know, Nick has really with the guys in the game, almost with the exception of Dan, he's got a really good bond with just about everybody.
Yeah. And as Nick himself says, he's not a target, right? Mm-hmm. He's got that great confessional. He's like, he's the center of all this information, but no one's going after him. Mm-hmm. And this episode is actually a great episode for Nick, right? Because Davey plays the idol, Christian is saved, and Nick, you know, all of Nick's allies are intact, but Nick himself is in the background still.
Mm-hmm. And I feel like that this was a nice bounce back week for Carl. I don't feel good about Carl going the distance, but I would have guessed he would have been the most likely person to go home tonight. And I would not predict that going into next week's episode, that Carl is the next one out.
Who do you think is the next one out?
Let's see. I guess we have these. It's very unpredictable, but I kind of feel like that we're going to lose a Goliath next, and I'm not sure which one. I mean, I feel like this blowing up on Alec, I could see that more than some of these other people. But, you know, Angelina is still a big target on the board, and so is Dan.
I think Alec or I think Mike is in the mix. You know, I think like
I thought Mike was going out tonight. I did think that we saw when once Mike started talking about how he wanted to flip things around on Christian, I thought after the immunity challenge, we're going to talk about like, well, why don't we get rid of Mike tonight?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm surprised that, and it really could, it could be next week.
Okay. All right. Let's see. Scott has pulled up a tweet here for us. John Densford said, why did Alec spill the beans to Nick of all people? We haven't even seen them talk to each other yet. Much less Alec wanting to be loyal to Nick over Christian. We have a breaking nickname here. Wow. He says, because we were the Surf and Turf Alliance.
Wow. I wonder if that's real or if he's just like making a joke.
I suspect it's real.
The Surf and Turf Alliance.
Yeah. I guess that Alec is the surf and Nick is the turf.
Nick, you know what? Like Nick is so, it's like he like lights up when people talk to him. He's so engaging. Like you look at the way that he talks to people and he's always got like so much joy and energy. And he's like, I remember like last episode when Christian came to Nick and, you know, gave him the code word, you know, Mason, and like Nick turns and it's like, his whole persona like lights up his face. And he's like, yeah, Mason, you know, and he's got. Yeah, thank you very much. Hey, thanks,
Rob.
Yeah.
I'm not being facetious either. I've seen that you light up in one-on-one conversations.
Oh, that's you light up too.
Oh, come on.
Yeah. This is so awkward now.
Yeah.
But I think people feel connected to Nick and it's going to serve him well.
Okay, let's do one more question here tonight. Let's take one from Gretchen. Do you think that Christian will go after Mike after their talk about Gabby? I'm sure that he'll learn it was Mike's idea to go after Christian. So do you think that there will be any animosity from the former members of the Strike Force of, hey, why did Mike flip? Or was that information totally communicated to the Davids about what was going on with why the Goliaths were turning against them?
Yeah, I think this could bounce back on Mike, you know, and it's interesting. And you know, yeah, could you see Angelina flipping to the Davids? Like she's, there's no love lost, really.
Who is she flipping to? I mean, she has a relationship with Nick, but other than that, I mean, who is she tight with over there?
I don't know, but you just see a lot of animosity. And like, you know, we knew John was her big ally on the Goliaths, but like you see this, her frustration with Mike, this episode, right? When Mike was kind of putting this idea out there that was hers, certainly she's frustrated with Dan.
It's possible, but I don't think we've seen enough yet in the episodes. You know, it could happen down the road because anything could happen, but I haven't seen enough there to lead me to think that is a likely thing.
Do you think we'll have a scene of Angelina telling people that, oh, we didn't talk about that moment, which was great. Like, did you give him the name? Did you give him the name?
Did you give who the name?
When Dan comes back from playing his idol for Angelina,
and
Angelina like just corrects it.
Yes. She's like, she had to like, micromanage the idol play also of like, you told them you gave him the name, right? Right. You know, we got it. We're good. I thought you were talking about the moment in the beginning of the episode when she came back and was like talking about how she got caught, but then tried to sell everybody this cockamamie story about having the human genuine moment where and every single person to a, like they we kept going to confessionals like nobody's buying this story.
That's
great too.
Well, okay. I'm curious if she's going to have a moment next week where like, well, you played the idol, but I didn't really need the idol. You know, like it was only two votes on me.
Mm-hmm. Steven, let me just show you this one other thing that we've got pulled up here.
Is this real?
Yeah. So DJ LaBelle Klein.
This is awesome.
The person. So this is how fast the great Brian Malloy is able to.
This
get
is a Brian Malloy shirt?
Yes. This is available
at
rehapstore.com.
RHAPstore.com.
This is a 1 week only that Brian Malloy has taken the famous DJ LaBelle Klein idol clue. blue and parodied it to a RHAP Bell logo that's available up in the RHAP store.
So this is the best one yet.
Very quick turnaround there for Brian Malloy. So great job there. Funny. Well, I'll send one to DJ LaBelle Klein also for figuring out that. Did you see that he was the one last week? He cracked this before anybody.
That was great. That was great work. And it's funny. What did you think of the fact that they put another clue out there with the same map? Did you like that or did you not like that?
Yeah, it was like, guys, please look at this picture. I like that they didn't. And then also like put like, look at the clue. Do you see anything in there? So that was good. And maybe we have to get one for Nick Wilson too, because he did say in the episode, like, this would be a cool t-shirt. So there you go. All right, Scott, what else is coming up here on the podcast? Oh, Patreon. Oh, okay. Well, the challenge, final Reckoning episode 10 recap.
Oh, no spoilers. Okay. No spoilers.
Believe me, I'm not. Don't worry. I'm not going to spoil you on the challenge. Final Reckoning episode. Episode 19. Sorry, I got to get my glasses.
It's a great season.
Great season. Okay. Yeah. The LFC got together. They did a draft at the final 12. Not sure who had John Hennigan, but I think he went pretty early on in the LFC draft because it's been an unpredictable season. That's up on robiswebsite.com. Exit interview number 8, or it's probably episode 8, but we've done more than that with John Hennigan coming up. Looking forward to that. A little bit of a teaser that your friend Brian Cordan is going to take me on in the This Week in Survivor History quiz. This week.
Oh my gosh! Well, he's Brian knows as much as anybody knows about Survivor.
Yeah. No spoilers, but Brian Cordan is going to join me on the Twitch quiz this week. So be on the lookout for that. And then Wendell Holland on Thursday. Can't wait to catch up with Wendell. Great episode to recap with him. And so if you got questions, you can email them in survivor@robiswebsite.com. And then the B&B, Lita is going to be joining the B&B with Mike and Liana this week. So be on the lookout. B&B on the lookout for that.
B&B.
Why John lost. I can't wait to hear what David and Jessica come up with for why John Hennigan lost Survivor, because he did everything right, seemingly, yet he's out of the game. So we'll see.
Yeah.
And then Hannah is going to be here over the weekend. And Hannah has become one of my favorite podcast guests over the last couple of years. And she is so fun. She has such a good mind for the game as well. And so really excited to get into the feedback with Hannah for the first time ever this weekend on the podcast. Of course, Wiggle Room coming as well on Monday. Get your wand offs in by Monday morning this week. Of course, Rob has a website.com/patron. Patreon makes it all possible for us to do this much coverage. And Stephen, I'm having the best time recapping and talking with all the survivors about this really fantastic season, having a lot of fun as well with the patrons, with all the extra shows that we do for the patrons. Find out more about how to become a part of the RHAP patron community at robiswebsite.com/patron. All right, Steven.
Great podcast last week, by the way, with Kellen.
Oh,
such a fun podcast. I listened to it and I loved it.
She was really we've been very lucky with the guests that they've all been really locked in. Like none of the guests are sort of not that they ever like mail it in, but they're all really invested in the season. And so lots of great insight from the guests. I've been very happy with all the podcasts so far this season. Steven is on Twitter @StevenFishback. Be sure to check out his blog on people.com. Steven, anything else coming up?
No, this was a great one. I'm just excited. Next week we got a Thanksgiving episode. Is it going to be like a double or something? Okay, are we getting a double episode?
This upcoming week is going to be the Thanksgiving Eve episode of Survivor. It will be a 1-hour episode. And from what I understand, in 2 weeks from tonight, I believe that is going to be on the 28th of November. I believe that will be a 2-hour episode of Survivor. So Stephen and I will be live that night at 10:15 p.m. Eastern time. So make your plans accordingly for the night of Wednesday.
Oh, Stephen's going to be tired.
You're going to be tired?
Worse than usual.
Worse than usual. Okay. Be sure to check.
So hashtag leather-assed. Is that the appropriate hashtag for that?
Like, it's like past tense.
Yeah, leather-assed. That's the poker idiom I've always heard of, like leather-assed poker players. Okay, just
somebody,
like, sit
somebody
in the chair.
Tweet to Jason Somerville and ask him if that's if we've got that right or not. Okay,
I'll text Tyson. I do not.
I'll text Tyson if he's got leather ass.
No, here's the. It says, "Well, if it ain't the leather-assed road gambler," Tommy nodded over at Scarpella.
What?
So it's coming up.
What are you talking about right now?
I did a Google search, and leather-assed is coming up.
Are you using it in a sentence?
The strategies of a leather-assed poker player are exemplar. I'm just reading off what's coming. So there's a type of poker, apparently. I was correct. That is leather-assed.
Okay, and so who is leather-assed? That's you? You're the leather-assed?
No, it was, I think Christian was the leather-assed because he was, you know, he didn't spook.
He didn't spook. Okay, so he didn't move when he didn't get nervous. That's what it is?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, if you say so. okay. All right, Stephen, great job being leather-assed here tonight.
Thank you so much.
We'll be back.
I didn't spook this episode.
Yes, we'll be back next Wednesday night. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
All right. I'm sending you this thing, Scott.